Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 285. Nice try, Adam.
Yeah!
It shouldn't be that hard.
Wow.
I mean, I've done 284 of them.
Whole thing, that's what she said.
Man. So,
she said it was podcasting.
Yeah, no. I don't know where
Maybe
to go from there.
This one.
I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are...
Josh.
Pat.
Adam.
Okay.
We clapped way too early.
Well, no. Normally I have a little something to say, but you threw me off. I didn't know where to go from there.
Normally, yeah, that's what she said, isn't throw you off like that.
No, it didn't. No.
Yeah,
but
it's like, boom.
No, I was trying to think of, you know, anything going on recently that I could chime into, but nothing. We haven't really done anything yet this month, so it's been a month. But wait till next week. But we'll get to
next
that.
Week.
Next week, you want to know what's... Should I start with what's going on next week?
Let's start what's going
sure.
on.
Next week, very exciting.
What is it?
Is we are having the midnight release party on Tuesday at midnight for Dark Knight's Metal number 1. And the cool thing with this is there is a...
You're going to have really long hair. It's like
oh, you should.
A guitar.
You should have a company costume. Just you.
Just me.
I'm just clearing that up right now. Just you.
We're going to have Metallica play. It's
well, that's okay.
Awesome.
We've already planned for you for My Little Pony Day, so don't worry.
Oh, yeah. That's
why
right.
are we having a My Little Pony Day?
Because Tim said you wanted to, so.
Tim said that?
Yeah.
Tim.
But next Tuesday is the Dark Knight's Metal midnight release party.
And you're
so
the brony of us.
We will have the book, and I also have the midnight midnight release variant available. I don't want to say it's available only at the midnight release, but if I sell out, I'm out. You know, I won't have them on Wednesday.
You're 12:05 and you were out.
Well, cool, and I doubt I'm going to go through 50 copies by 12:05.
Never know.
But so that's
Rebirth,
going on.
You have people waiting out the door.
Yeah.
What if I buy 50 copies?
You want to buy all 50?
If I do, that would be really that'd
be awesome. Yeah, that would be awesome.
People waiting outside.
But, and we're going to have a special DC, probably Justice League related sale, like all members of Justice League, that kind of thing, because it looks like it's not just Batman, it's the whole Justice League, because they're on the cover in that, the Metal Fingers position on the regular cover of number 1. You know, this, it's,
that,
no, it's
like
that
the Metal Fingers?
Well, no, you know, the devil
the
horns.
Devil horns?
Yeah. You know what I mean. Yeah, thank you. Boy, I was scared. But so from 11 to 12, we'll have the special sale, and then at 12, we can sell you metal.
Do that?
And
do that?
I'm really praying that they don't come in damaged.
I want to see you do it. Yeah, that's okay. I thought it looked like a bunny last night. No, that's Live Long and Prosper. Oh.
Okay.
It was like that before. I'm pretty sure.
How do I come in? Why do I stay late? I can leave with Tim.
Making shadow puppets.
I could just leave. Adam
it's a Captain Carrot marathon. Or a Captain Carrot midnight release.
Go home, sit on the sofa. Watch
why
the
doesn't he have
game.
A book? Yeah, why doesn't he call
him? Awesome. No, I'm sitting here.
What? There's a lot of characters that need a book that don't have a book. Like Shazam.
Yeah.
Detective yeah. Chimp.
Well, of course. I mean, I've been saying that for a long time.
I've never said that.
Mm. Monkey
never
business.
Heard you, say that.
You don't listen all the time.
True.
He doesn't listen
fair anytime. Enough. Fair enough. I will give you that. I will give you that. So that's what's going on next week, which I'm excited about. And, of course, just Metal coming out, I'm excited to read it, because the DC guys have really been hyping it, like, internally to us on the message board, just kind of...
That's their job.
It is their job, but I tend to believe them a little more.
Oh, man, this book sucks. Don't order
no,
any
no,
time.
I know they're not going to do that.
We
but
thought
it,
it'd be good, Colin, but it blows, so don't even bother
awful,
with it.
Yeah.
But it's hoping people don't even look at it.
Yeah. The fact that Batman's on the cover is the only thing that's going to sell this.
I like crap, man, all right? we're sorry.
You're stating the obvious.
I think they should have give us the print plates and that they're made of metal. Well, they don't print on print plates anymore.
What century
what
are you
about?
Living in, Adam?
Like you think they have a separate plate for like each panel and they arrange it in their proper way like a newspaper?
The Comic Sans type sets
that's
and all
true.
That.
They don't do it like that anymore.
You only find that in a museum, Adam.
That was Saturday.
Wow.
You and Adam went to the museum?
No, no. But it was somebody in... It was something, but somebody's name was kind of like that. I'm like, you know where he likes to go? And
you said Mosaic.
Mosaic. Likes to go to the museum. That's it. There we go.
Mosaic.
Yeah, that was Tuesday, actually. Yeah, that was yesterday.
Yesterday.
Oh.
It's been a long week.
Today's been a long day. I mean, not bad day, just long.
It's 24 hours, same as all the others.
Well, I know, but I've been here 11 hours already. So, yeah, that's all we got for that. So, Pat.
Yeah.
Was there any news? I don't recall any, to be honest with you.
There was a few things. Netflix bought Miller World.
Yes.
Which, well, okay, yes and no. Kingsman and Kick-Ass were exempted from that deal.
They bought Miller World, but they don't have the rights to the film and TV aspect of Kingsman and Kick-Ass.
Right. But they have the rights.
Because it's already somewhere else.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but I think if at some point those rights were to expire it would revert back to Netflix. Yeah.
Which it might come.
And I guess probably any revenue from comics in those worlds would still go to Netflix.
I guess.
I mean, Netflix owns Miller World now, so.
Yeah, I would assume, but I don't know. I'm hoping this means we get to see Chrononauts.
Well, what I'm thinking is they're seeing the success
that
of...
That was already in the works, though.
Yeah. But they're seeing...
Like they were talking about that was already in the
works. Yeah, I know they talked about a possibility of that before, but I think Netflix can kind of do justice to
Well,
that.
Netflix can... Well, I don't
is
know.
Is it stuck Netflix somewhere else, though?
Original movies already... I've been...
Oh, no, I would do it as, like, a TV series.
Yeah.
Because you're jumping through time and all that, it can
He was saying it was in development as a movie, like, okay. Back when it first came out. I did find it funny, though, when... Because I read his whole, like, big... Mark Miller's big blog post about it. How he's saying only two other times in history has there been a, you know, transaction of this magnitude, you know, and that was DC being purchased by Warner Brothers and Marvel by Disney. I'm like, Miller World is not on the same level as DC and Marvel. I'm sorry.
No,
I hate to break it to you,
close.
But this is not a transaction of that magnitude.
He always seemed like somebody who had kind of an ego. Like, all of this stuff he writes because he wants it to be a movie. I mean, that's always been the case with him.
I mean, nothing wrong with wanting money.
No.
No, he's got the direct line.
Just he seems a little, thinks a little bigger. But
there's
nothing
wrong
bigger
with
in Scotland.
Except for Scotland itself.
Everything in Scotland is bigger.
Oh, okay. I thought that was Texas.
It's bigger.
You know what I've heard?
It's
if it's
on
not
the
Scottish,
inside.
It's crap.
Oh, that's true, actually. Unless it's Irish, then it's better.
Hmm. Anyway, moving on. Kind of another piece of Netflix news. Disney is pulling out of...
This just then.
Disney is pulling out of Netflix as of
2019. Pulling out is
Netflix. Yep. That kind of night.
Don't act like you're above it. Like you don't get involved.
Oh,
in
not
this.
At all. Not at all. Except for the Marvel TV shows are apparently going to stay on Netflix. But, like, the Marvel movies will not be. So.
It's kind of funny. So now with Netflix, you'll have to pay extra for Disney stuff. On CBS, you're going to have to pay for CBS to get
Star Trek.
And I'm like, you know, what's going to come to eventually? You know, you'll have to spend, you know, extra for, you know, to watch sports and ESPN and all that. I bet in the future... Some company is going to combine all these services into one package where you pay just one monthly fee instead of $10 a month to all these different ones. And then they're going to get stuff like internet and phone, and they'll bundle that together. It's like I'm just going...
No, this is the way of the future. Like, this is how
it should
be. I
get it, but you're going
to
be...
I would love to just say I will pay for these seven channels that I actually watch instead of paying for 1,000 channels that...
It's going to get to the point where you're going to end up paying more for those 15 you want.
I handle our cable bill. I doubt that would be the case.
I bet it will.
You're saying
get it to a point where
$10 a channel.
But it's $5 to $10. Like, premium channels are $10. CBS
what's
is $5.
CBS? Oh, is it $5?
I
thought it was $10.
Okay. Yeah, I thought it was $10 also.
No, it's $5. I think there might be...
There might be a, one that's a bit more expensive to have, like, no commercials at all.
Okay.
But $5 is, I believe, what you can get in. Hit on.
I mean, once
sports
they get
deal, sports is the only hold up with all this. I would love to just be able to go a la carte and say, F you, the cable company. But I want to be able to watch sports.
Well, you can still do that, though, because all the sports leagues have packages streaming.
But don't they do blackout for local, certain teams if you're in the region?
Oh,
yeah.
Do they?
Yeah. Like, I can't, on the NHL thing, I can't watch the local.
That never bothered me because all of my teams are out of market to begin with. So, but I didn't grow up.
Yeah, like
if I had
NHL Center Ice, I don't think I could watch Penguins on it because you have to watch it on, which was Root Sports. Now it's AT&T Sports, which does not have any sort of streaming package at all out there.
That's strange considering AT&T owns DirecTV.
Maybe they will now that AT&T.
That whole thing's a piece of garbage, too.
What?
They try to work in deals without cell phones now, so you have to, you get your cell phone. If you want this, you also have to sign up for DirecTV. And
maybe now it's AT&T, but who knows? That channel's changed names 3 times in the past 10 years. Like football, you could do an HD antenna and still pick up CBS.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, yeah, but that only... because they won't show all the Pittsburgh games. They won't show...
CBS shows all the regular season games, except for, like...
but then you get the NHL Network games, ESPN games.
Except for, like, Monday Night and Sunday Night Football.
Yeah. But, well, no, Sunday Night Football, you still get because you get NBC.
You get NBC channel. But Monday Night Football is ABC, isn't it?
Thursday Night Football is on one of them. Yeah.
Half the season, Thursday Night Football is on CBS. The rest of the year, it's only on NFL Network. But if the Steelers don't sell out, you don't get it.
That's not an issue.
Not an issue now. It's not to say it wouldn't be an issue in the future.
Now, I do wonder if the game is being broadcast on a national network, if it still is subject to the blackout rules. I'm not sure about that. It's like if there's a game that was on the NHL Network or on the NFL Network.
Again, because like I get NFL Sunday tickets so I can watch the Eagles, but I'm out of market.
Why would you want to do that? Even as a Philly fan, the Eagles?
He likes throwing things at the TV.
I guess.
Throwing things is the least of the worry. I'm the type of fan that if the Eagles lose, my wife, just her and my son leave the house for a while.
See, I'm a Steelers fan, but if they lose, I don't really get that upset. Like, I'm not diehard.
It's not that they lose, it's how they lose.
Yeah, like football, I watch it, I enjoy it, but I've never cared, terribly. Hockey, I get into, but. Welcome to Pittsburgh Sports Podcast.
I kind of agree with Colin, though, because once you add in all the streaming services, I think it would be more than my cable bill.
Well, once they, if they start to get that many people and cable starts to die off, then they're going to raise the price on that type of thing anyways.
Well, yes and no. I mean, you can only price it so much to where people will still do it. Because, like, HBO Go, it's no different whether I have HBO Go or I have HBO on DirecTV.
Do you think that people would just, like, not do it if that was their option of
okay, so like
TV? Because, I mean, that's how we're stuck in the mess now because are just, like...
I pay for Netflix.
Yeah.
But I pay for Netflix because there's stuff on there I really want to watch.
Yeah.
I don't have any of the other streaming services because I haven't found that one thing. And I'm like, okay, I'm willing to pay $10 a month to be able to watch that.
Well, yeah, I mean, in that future, you might be more selective.
Yeah.
Like, I may enjoy watching the occasional, flea market flip episode, but I'm not going to pay $5 a month for HGTV for something that I just put on as a, mindless background noise. Or something to eat watch while I'm eating cereal real quick in the morning.
I mean, generally, I watch more kind of network TV than I do cable anyway.
But it seems like those services, the ones that are for standard, networks, they've kind of settled more in that, sub $10 range. It seems like the premium stations, the ones that are in the 10 and up, are the ones that have like a huge library of content like the Hulus and the Netflix.
Yeah.
I like Hulu because it focuses on like your main TV shows that you watch. Like, you know, they have a lot of CW stuff. They had a lot of, you know, Netflix I do that. For just the odd things. Like,
I can
movies,
watch
stuff
that.
Like that, random.
I can watch that, though, over the airwaves. I don't
yeah.
have to.
Well, that's my reason, almost, that I could just get rid of, because I don't watch as a lot of sports, so I mean, really, I don't need all of the stuff, because I can watch
Name
the
one sport
show.
Do you watch?
Huh?
Name one sport do
I
you
used
watch.
To watch hockey, but I don't watch it anymore.
So there's none you watch right now?
Right now, no.
Okay.
So. I have one.
So you don't watch any sports? No, a lot of sports.
You watch just dodgeball and the Ocho.
Oh, nothing wrong with that. ESPN 8, the Ocho.
But,
bold move, Cotton.
A lot of that stuff I just don't need, and I can get that from Hulu and Netflix.
And we should form a dodgeball team.
Do it. Dodge the wrench. If you can dodge a wrench, you can
dodge the ball. You be the coach.
Patches O'Houlihan over there. Patches McMahon. Nice.
Colin O'Houlihan. That actually works better, I think. Any other news?
Last thing, it's unfortunately at this point still a rumor, but it's been confirmed he's at least in talks, is Carl Urban is in talks to star in the Mega City 1 show.
Hell yeah.
Which...
And they're talking about, it's rumor that Netflix might be looking to pick the show up.
Yeah, I think that has to be on a premium outlet. That's not going to work on like...
Yeah. You could do it on an AMC.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's true, because they have gotten away with quite a bit of gore and
Preacher,
whatnot.
Walking Dead,
yeah.
Breaking Bad.
I think I'd like it better just the binge watch it, though. Instead of just having it just every week.
Well, I mean, yeah, you always prefer to just be able to binge watch it, mm-hmm. than wait a week.
Some
it's like saying I prefer to breathe
some
air.
Some shows I don't want to just sit there and just watch through. I like them paced out.
When?
I don't know. Some of the AMC shows, like, I probably wouldn't binge watch Better Call Saul. I like it watching every week.
Just devil's advocate. I may not want to sit down and binge watch an entire season, but I can't think of any scenario where I say, I would rather have a week wait in between each episode here.
The CW shows. I wouldn't really care to binge watch those. Those can wait.
Yeah, sometimes you just want to get it over with.
Okay, but do you DVR?
In that case, I just want to watch them.
But that's do you DVR a lot of stuff?
Not really.
I like the CW shows, but I can't freaking stand when they get into the, you know, the music changes, and we're going to have some long, you know, teen-esque conversation for a while for no reason. It's going to be super serious and emotional. Even though some crisis is going on, we have to have a deep, heartfelt conversation right now about our feelings, because we can't continue battling the crisis.
Because Cisco is so mad about his brother dying.
Yeah.
You changed the timeline. Now my brother died.
Mm-hmm. That's what happened.
Your brother was dead in the other timeline, too. Mm-hmm.
Actually, and he was a dick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, you didn't even like your brother.
He was very whiny. Yeah. Very whiny. Plus, he can't play. He was always the fun character, and then you turned on the show, and then he was just like...
Dark Cisco.
He was just like, I hate everything. My brother's dead, and I don't like naming things anymore. And he wanted to cry, and he was going to support groups, and she's like, what happened?
They should have made him turn into Batman.
Yeah, he was also bad. Parents are dead.
Darkness. No brother.
Yeah, he was mopey.
Yep.
Mopey Cisco.
So that's it for news, Colin.
That's it for news?
What do you got? Do you guys know?
I do not have any news. Yeah, I couldn't really think of any news this week.
All right, there was something comic book.
Yeah, nothing I can really think of.
We'll see.
I've been distracted. So.
Distracted. By what?
Trying to get the new computer system running and figuring it out and stuff. So I haven't been. I mean, I read the news, but the problem is there's not like that. Like, I used to be on CBR all the time, just seeing what was going on, getting notifications. Now it's just like top 15. Who cares?
Yeah. If I was more inclined to be in social media, I might be able to find more stuff, but, like, I don't go on Twitter, I don't go on Facebook, I don't and most of the regular sites suck, where they crash my computer.
Adblocker. Made a world of difference, man. I'm telling you. My computer, it used to be, if I went to Bleeding Cool, within a few minutes, the fans on my laptop were going like crazy.
Okay.
And everything would just lock up. Like, pages would just stop loading. I wouldn't be able to scroll at all. I installed that thing, and, man, Bleeding Cool is a pleasant experience now.
They're not being paid? Thank you.
Until you start reading some of the articles, then you're like, this isn't as
if you awesome. Go to, like, legit news sites, though.
Well, anything that's written by Jude Terry, you just know don't go on.
Right. Problem is, you don't know until you click through.
That's true, yeah.
He's toned it down a bit.
A bit.
Legit news sites will pop and be like, we see you're using an ad blocker. If you'd like to actually read this page, please whitelist us and disable it.
You're like, no, I don't want to. No, I don't want to read this page.
I'll just be ignorant. I'll read the news.
Did you see the article about DC and Dark Matter?
Yep.
And the creators will have ownership or equity stakes in the characters they create?
I saw it, but didn't click through it.
That's cool.
Yeah, they're saying there's going to be ownership or, you know, shared equity.
That's actually kind of surprising that they would do that.
Creators don't sell books, just fancy covers sell books. Everybody knows that.
Fancy covers
they don't
no
have
one
to
can
be
get.
Fancy. They don't have to be.
Fancy covers are made by artists. Artists don't sell books. Flaw in your argument.
No, it doesn't matter what's on the cover. It's that it's lenticular is what sells the book.
Well, lenticular covers do sell books.
That's true.
Because they're gorgeous. But you shouldn't have to jump through those sorts of hoops to buy them.
They need to go back to those DC covers that, remember the Robin covers that you had to pull down the little tab and it would
mm-hmm,
make a movement?
Mm-hmm. Faux lenticular, yeah. But yeah, Hibbs' article was really good. And then on the special Patreon podcast, David Harper of Sketched answered my question. And he said, no, he's no more excited.
Oh, there's a special, like, you...
Oh, yeah, your special podcast is for us.
I noticed the last episode I listened to, you were the second name, he said.
Yes, although then the next one that I listened to, I was the second to last name. So.
Oh, the Seisberger one?
No, maybe it...
The Declan Shelby one I just listened to, you were the second name.
Yeah, you know, that might have been. And then, or maybe I was second to last on the Patreon podcast. It was just an Ask Me Anything, so... A lot of people asked him his favorite basketball things and favorite sandwich. And I asked him how excited he was for Legacy. Would he pick up more of these books post Legacy? And he basically said, "No, it's the same creative teams. There's really nothing there to get him excited. Maybe once they bring the characters back."
And he was a Marvel guy. Like,
yeah,
he was very hard on DC during. New 52 and DCU, and it's very.
But the reason I wanted to ask him is just he is someone who he's more than just the casual person. He's a little more attuned to what's going on and stuff. So, I just wanted to get his take on it, and he basically said no, he will not be getting any extra from this. He'll get the ones he's getting, but he won't be diving into some extras.
Oh, Hibbs answered that.
No, David Harper. Okay. But David Harper isn't just a, I view him as being a little more in tune.
When you said he's getting the ones he's getting, I thought you meant like...
No. But he's going to keep getting the books that he's already getting.
Gotcha, I gotcha.
So we do have some questions.
What? Questions?
Yeah.
Adam,
what's
how
your
many
favorite
licks?
Sandwich,
Tom? Yeah. How many licks does it take to get to the Tootsie Roll Center with Tootsie Pop?
Nobody will ever know.
Okay. What came first,
one,
the chicken or the egg?
Two. Three.
Chicken or the egg?
Yeah. And do you know the Muffin Man who lives in Drury Lane?
I guess he is the Muffin Man.
Those were the questions. No, we had some other questions.
Some other ones?
We did. Best artist from the 1980s who drew consistently well on a monthly book. Being that was my heyday of reading comics, I will answer that.
Yeah,
and
that's
going
to have to be you.
It was John Byrne. Just crushing it on X-Men, Fantastic Four. I think those were his two biggies. But yeah, by far, John Byrne. Let's see, and Dave answered that, too. He said John Byrne as well, who drew Fantastic Four and Alpha Flight. I forgot about Alpha Flight, yeah.
I was not reading.
Yeah, I wasn't.
Children. Adam, what's your favorite part of running a comic shop?
Favorite part?
Yeah. No, that was for me. I'll answer.
He works here, though. What's your favorite part about working at a comic shop?
I was going to say Colin, but now I'm not going to say because he's kept
me. Don't lie. Honestly, what is your favorite part about working at a comic shop?
People who come Mike. In. No. People who come in.
What a name drop. Jeez.
Yeah, Colin. What if he's listening?
Okay. Then we'll get a 30-minute call next week.
About being on.
Let's add more details.
People who come in who are looking for something like that, they're new readers. You know, trying to get into something, you know, giving you ideas of what they're into and finding that. That's it. What's yours?
My favorite part of running a comic shop is talking.
Oh, that bank.
Yeah. So drive the 09 with 184,000 miles on it. Yeah. Is talking to people about comics. I did not know anybody growing up that read comics. So I never had anybody to talk to about them.
That's because nerds got beat up back then,
yeah,
where now they're just more celebrated. Nope.
How often did you get beat up, Colin?
I didn't ever got beat up.
Because he didn't tell anybody he read
beat
comics.
Up every
what? But, I mean, like, even when I went to the, you know, I was 15, and I went to the Chicago Comic Con and bought Daredevil number one and came home and showed my mom. You know, and she went, "You spent how much?" You know, that's not the answer I was looking for.
She was like, "No."
Now your wife says that to you.
Yeah, pretty much. But just, it's fun being able to talk, you know, here with people about comics.
I thought he was still here.
He's lurking. Talk to people about comics, especially, you know, the older ones. Oh, I remember that story. That was, you know, not that I don't like talking about the new ones, but, you know, the ones that I never had a chance to talk to anybody. That I really
you don't read the new ones.
I do.
So you're not able to talk.
First
I do.
One of the new ones.
I do. Well, there are only four number ones on this week. But that is my favorite part. Yeah. And alphabetize. No.
Alphabetizing.
That's your Tim's favorite part is inventory.
Have you been listening to the new season of My Comic Shop History?
I've started the Aw Yeah comics, but that's about as far as
you
I
should
am.
Listen to the Pack Rat comics one.
Okay,
because the Pack Rat comics one, they talk a lot about the pull boxes.
Okay,
because they're the ones that
actually
went viral.
Yep. They're the ones that won the Eisner the year I was up. The first year I was up.
So really? They won last year?
No, 2015.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, they talk about though how they were nominated like 5 years and the whole process of, like, you know, you get this stuff on Free Comic Book Day and it's a hassle to try to put all this thing together just to go there and, you know, be disappointed. And it seemed like they were more of a, because I know you were, you know, a bit disappointed. You've seen like some of the other stores and all that crazy stuff they were doing, and, you know, you're a comic book shop. But it seems like from listening to them, like, they are a comic book shop too. Like, they have, you know, a gaming room and things like that, but it's at their core, they don't have all the extra bells and whistles.
Okay.
But just hearing them talk about their process in the years, you know, of nominations and disappointment with that. It's just remind me of some of the things you've been talking about as well.
Okay. He's going to be talking to Jermaine.
Some of the stores that we saw on there that did that kind of stuff, still, they haven't won.
Yeah.
Like, that's the other thing, too. And it's just like,
yeah.
So maybe that's not even the stuff.
Well, no,
really,
but it's one thing. Are they doing that so that they win an Eisner, or are they doing that for other business purposes? Winning an Eisner is not going to bring 1,000 people in the door, but
it's on the
studio mic.
Isn't it on, like, part of the thing, like, when you get your folder and everything about, you know, what kind of community service things you do?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it is part of the, it's part of it.
No, but I don't think, I can't imagine they do those type of things for the Eisner. I think they're
doing them,
and it just helps them.
You would have to be really foolish to, like, spend all that money and do all that to chase an award one
yeah,
time.
It does seem like a lot of it.
Yeah, unless you just really want the award that much.
Yeah.
It's all popularity contest anyway.
Yeah.
Nope. Oh,
sorry. You're still a nerd in this game.
Come on. Come on.
What other questions were there?
There we go.
It
wasn't letting me in. Let's see. There were two more.
Two more?
Best Kirby creation, character or book?
The New Gods.
Yeah, probably the New Gods.
I mean, I think that's his most unique
creation. I'd say that's...
Did he create Darkseid?
Yes.
Yeah.
Probably Darkseid's probably the biggest name character he's created.
Captain America.
I mean, I was thinking DC, but
yeah,
I guess.
I mean... you know, he created Captain America.
Yeah, I was thinking the Fantastic Four was kind of big.
Here's my problem with Fantastic Four is even Marvel doesn't give a damn about Fantastic Four.
See, I guess I still, even though Kirby came from Marvel, when I think of Kirby, I always think of DC.
Okay, yeah.
Just because DC seems to actually give a shit about Kirby and Marvel doesn't really ever.
I don't. Yeah, you're
Tim
right.
Lurking? I think Tim's lurking.
No, you have you want to put a W in there? It's working.
See Tim.
Bye, Tim.
Hi, Tim.
No, but lurking for the last half hour.
As a person who's really started reading Marvel, I've always known him more for Marvel than I knew what he was for DC. So I think it's all, it depends on what you were originally into and stuff like that.
I was never a big Marvel part. Like, I never read Marvel comics when I was younger. I read DC.
Now, getting it, you're right, though. Getting into DC, though, I started to see his most, like we just said, his most unique creation being the New Gods. That was really his big thing. So it's just like, once I got into DC, I started to realize how creative of a person he was, mainly that he was just an artist that was, that they, you know, Sam Lee brought this idea to, and can you draw this? You know, this was his thing, you know. But I knew him from Fantastic Four, I think, and Colin's right on that. You know, that one stands out the most.
Yeah, like,
not so much Captain America, because I didn't read any of the Golden Age Captain
America. He co-created Fantastic Four.
Right,
yeah. Stan Lee, yeah. Like, all those characters, Stan Lee's the name that pops in my head right away.
Well,
and that
I may think how I think about Stan Lee, but I do recognize what he's done.
That's the problem, though, that a lot of Marvel fanboys have with that whole thing, that they don't accept Jack Kirby for what he's done. I think DC, and that's what I think irritates me now looking at it, because I'm like, I didn't used to think that way, but now that I see it today, and we're seeing how much DC is actually putting out there to honor his 100th birthday, and Marvel hardly put anything out. Not to say that they didn't put anything
out. Dollar books.
They put out dollar books.
Reprints, yeah.
Reprints. Where DC did things to honor him by, you know, creating specials, by doing Commandy Challenge.
Yeah.
They brought all of his work back out on the table.
Yeah.
You know, and
DC really, like, they
dedicated it to him.
They did a good job of showcasing him.
Well,
so
artist don't move the needle, that's why.
I mean, the first thing that they brought out for his 100th birthday was Monsters Unleashed.
Yeah.
And it's just like, they didn't even say, hey, this is for his 100th birthday. Like, DC put it right on their cover, you know? So it's like, but back to that, though, I'd say the New Gods.
And then the last question is, which Image founding member do you like the best?
Jim Lee.
That's what I'd say, Jim Lee.
He's most likable.
Well, likable, and the others, I mean, yes, Spawn is still going, but, you know,
Spawn could sell zero copies and he could still keep it going. Like,
right.
He's the boss.
And Liefeld, while he's still very enthusiastic, just his style never grew. It never got better. Silvestri, Valentino, they pretty much disappeared.
I don't think Liefeld was as talented as he,
No,
makes
he got
a lot of beers. He may get credit for.
No.
I think he was surrounded
I think he made it.
He was surrounded by a very talented group of people that he was in with, and he was. His rise was during a time when his style, was more relevant. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he never changed. Yeah,
he was the one of the '90s guys.
Yeah. But yeah, just Silvestri and Valentino really don't do much anymore. And Will Spertasio doesn't do anything. He did some covers for Marvel a while back.
No,
he's not.
He's just not a likable.
He's just a weird guy.
And Eric Larson, I was never really a fan of his art. I didn't like his Spider-Man stuff.
You don't think Savage Dragon is?
I mean, congratulations. I think he hit like 250.
But again,
with it.
He could keep Savage Dragon going as long as he wants to.
The
sales don't matter for Spawn or Savage Dragon.
Well, yeah, sales don't matter for any Image books, really.
Well, no, I disagree, because if I'm a creator and I have a book through Image, I still have to put food on the table.
Yeah.
So my sales matter. Like, I want to sell books.
Yes and no. I mean, he can sell. Like, I forget where they did the numbers somewhere. It was like that
you can sell less
of what you sell.
Yeah,
Marvel
you can sell less. But I would venture a guess to say that Savage Dragon sells 1/6 of what a normal Image book probably sells. Like, what do you, I mean,
mm-hmm. For me, a good Image book is double digits, where, I didn't look at the numbers, but I'm sure we sold through most of my 50 Mr. Miracles today. So, you know, just, I have 200, what I say, crazy.
I get you can sell less there, but I think those books probably sell less than, you know, what an acceptable Image book normally would be for a non-founder creator. I don't know a single person that reads Spawn or Savage Dragon on a regular basis.
No, somebody, I Spawn is about 8, maybe 10, but when they do like a black and white cover, and some people do that. Savage Dragon, actually, I don't carry. I had one guy getting it, and then he stopped getting it, and it just, I was ordering two, one for him, one for the shelf, and then after that it just became, why am I ordering this? It's just taking up space.
I gotta wonder, the people, and, you know, it may not matter, but people know that book is even out there.
Maybe not, or just, you know, there's just no
interest. I've never read it, but I've always been familiar with it.
I think I read it early, but it just really seemed just kind of like, you know.
I've read, like, the first 50 or 60 issues of Spawn, just because I think when you had a sale down in the basement, you had everyone except for number 9. It was out at the time, and it was down in the basement, so...
I mean, I admire them for their enthusiasm and what they did, and all that was fantastic, but yeah, I just...
I'm not trying to disparage those books by any means. No. I haven't read Savage Dragon, I'm not familiar with it, but it could be a fantastic book. Okay.
But still, that's a lot of copies.
But how many in holds?
I'll check
up. Come on, Adam.
There you go.
But, I just think Jim Lee is one whose art, I mean, I think it used to be a lot better than what it is now, but now we mostly just get, you know, covers and things like that, which is fine, just.
Jim Lee, and it could just be for show since he's, you know, one of the figureheads at a big company, but he always just comes across as, like, a humble guy.
Yeah.
Whereas the other Image co-founders, anytime you hear interviews with them, like, most of them seem very full of themselves, like how, you know, these companies were so dumb to not pay them whatever they wanted back in the 90s and prevent,
right, but then when you listen to that one
from being born,
that what Liefeld wanted was ridiculous,
and they talk as if they didn't create Image that no other company would have, you know, been created in that
right
in that same fashion.
So, but okay, so thank you me for the questions. He was actually in today, but I...
Thank you, me?
That was...
He had 9 in polls.
Okay, so 40 out of 50.
Yeah.
And I bet there's a couple others in polls where people just asked me to grab them a copy. Mm-hmm. So...
That's crazy for Mr. Miracle, you know?
Yeah. I'm sure it outsold Secret Empire.
It's been super hyped.
Yeah.
For a while.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the Mr. Miracle character, but I got it more for the writing and...
Super hyped, and I think people, you know, when the people that didn't jump on Vision now realize, like, oh, I heard that was a really good book. Tom King is awesome. Mitch Gerads is awesome. I may not know about Mr. Miracle, but I should check this book out.
Yeah.
I don't want to miss out again.
I like Mr. Miracle.
FOMO, fear of missing out.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
FOMO moves the needle.
I like his backstory. Mm-hmm. Which they did a good job. If you probably read that, we'll be talking about it in that New God special.
Oh, yeah.
Did a good job explaining that again.
Yeah, somebody's like, do you need it? I'm like, it's a good one to read if you don't have the backstory, especially because you're going to need that for Mr. Miracle. Mm-hmm. Just all of a sudden when he's confronted by Orion, you kind of need to know their relationship.
I don't think in this special that they said that... Sons were traded, but they never mentioned.
They never mentioned. They never mentioned Mr. Miracle. Yeah.
Okay. But so who read what?
Why don't we talk about that one since we all read it, didn't we?
What? Mr. Miracle?
New Gods special.
Okay. I read that.
You did.
Yeah.
I really liked it.
It's a Christmas miracle.
Yeah.
I really liked it. I thought it was
quite good.
A fun story to read.
I didn't buy today's.
I didn't, I'm just...
No, just it was those, Newsboy or something.
You know what, I didn't... I know I'm picking a horrible event to do this with, but the Convergence Newsboy thing was not good at all. And I just didn't find them interesting.
That's a great barometer.
I know, right? That's why
I'm going to read it just because it's shaken.
Tell us, yeah, that's the only thing that I had really going for it.
But the new Got Special was neat. It had the little Simonson backup and then the Kirby original story that I thought was real neat.
Both backups were really good.
Yeah, I just thought it was a neat package.
They had a cool letter page in the back, too, which was really nice.
It did a good job of making it feel like a Kirby book, but also feel modern, too. And even his backup, because I haven't read much, original Kirby stuff, I was expecting to read his backup and feel like I was just reading something that felt very dated. But it actually felt, like a normal...
And it wasn't a complex story at all, just dealing with, a simple idea of Kalibak, trying to take over New Genesis and by putting in one of the pits. And that was it. It was just a basic... story, and I love the dialogue between Orion and Kalibak just going back and forth. Yeah. It was really nice. Just a really cool fight back and forth. I just loved how the characters sounded. Forager was really cool. It felt a lot like I also like how they did explain the face thing, which they never go into too much of how Orion does. He does, his mother box projects another image onto his face to hide that he is Darkseid's son.
Yeah, because that was something.
Spoiler alert!
I knew that part, but that was something I never, understood why.
Why does he look like a normal?
Well, that's how they used to draw him, but then I can't remember if it was the Green Lantern New Gods thing that they did not too long ago, or the I keep forgetting the name. What was that? Darkseid War, that they showed Orion's face and it was more like rock, like Darkseid's would be.
Okay.
That's how they kind of made it recently, but his face did kind of look just kind of Mr. Hyde kind of looking. Yeah. it was good. It's a really good book.
And Orion's always just such a dick.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and there's just no that's another thing. They went in that he was prejudiced against
bugs.
Yeah, the bugs.
And I like how they did put focus on that a little bit. It was good.
He does call him Forager at the end.
Yeah.
So is Forager in this not the same as Forager in the Young Animal book?
No, he is. Same one.
Okay. That's right. Yeah, I thought it was the same one.
Why?
Well, but because it made it seem like in the Young Animal book, I mean, Forager is one of the new gods.
Yeah.
Just in,
he still is. He's okay. One they just don't know in that book. In this book we just read.
Okay.
They didn't go into it.
It's kind of a prequel
type. I mean, probably, what's his high father probably knows. But they know, okay. Yeah, it's kind of more of a, because they were trying to tell an older story.
Okay.
But, and then, in stories, he's also alive in that as well, which he did die in a story. I forget what story it was. Do you remember what that... The death, we have it up there, but I don't know if it was part of, they had a bunch of stories going on with New Gods, but, he did die, so, and that's what we're getting in this book, this Young Animals book, after his death. It's kind of cool with a Young Animals book, because it does connect kind of the old New Gods story with this, into the Young Animal universe kind of thing, so, it's neat. But it was a good book. You'll have to tell us next week how
Newsboy
Legion was. If you like it, then we'll think about reading
you'll
it one
like
day.
It. What else you got?
Met Cadet U.
I read that.
You read that.
I heard that was quite good.
I really liked it. It was a very simple story, introduction. It's about a boy.
It's Gundam?
Kinda. but he...
boy, he's Gundam.
So at some point in this story's past, a Boy Scout or something like that finds him from space, and he makes friends with him, and they become, almost become like a superhero team in a way. And
okay, how about this movie with Adam Sandler and he does something?
And then in the future, they decide to, they join more of a, create like a team that these kids are trained, and then a robot
every
will visit
year,
them.
Several robots come down.
Yeah.
And these people are kind of their drivers. Mm-hmm. And this has been going on for a while because the first one is now old. But so they're at the lecture hall, and this one, it's the mom and her son. He's a janitor, and she's a janitor, and he's just kind of tagging along kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And the one girl just dismisses him, throws something for him to clean up, just, you know, get away from me, you know, janitor type of attitude. So he's, you know, bum didn't like that. So he's going home, and he's got a little toy mech in his pocket. And two of the three come down in the platform where they always come down to meet their new drivers, but only two come, and they're supposed to be three. So this girl, of course, is the one who doesn't get hers. So then the boy's walking along, and all of a sudden sees this crashed robot. One of them missed and crashed, and it's like part of his faceplate came off. So he takes the faceplate over to him, and he puts it on, and then the robot kind of, like, scans him and sees the little mech in his pocket and chooses him. Okay. And the kid's like, no, you know, you can't pick me. And then, like, sentries come, and they're like, you know, get away from the robot, that's not yours, and all this. And, again, the robot chooses him, and all of a sudden, the first guy, you know, like, Mance Rayder is what it popped in my head from...
Game of Thrones?
Well, no, not him. What was the one from Ender's Game? With the original guy from Ender's Game?
Yeah.
You know.
The Maori.
The renowned general.
Maxim. Yeah.
No.
You know who I mean.
Yeah, I know
who
you mean.
The idea of this is the, first guy shows up to say, no, sentries, it shows him.
Yeah.
You know, this is how it's supposed to be. So that was cool. And then it turns out that girl who didn't get the mech, I think that was her dad.
Yeah.
Basically says that's okay because we have a special one that we've built.
It's like they've been
that's
trying
even
to,
better than these other ones.
It's like they've been
you.
Trying to not deal with the robots, so they created
their they
own
created
robot.
Their own,
and this,
you know,
kid's gonna pie. This girl's
Mazer
gonna
Rackham.
Yeah.
Mazer. Okay, yeah. I was close. You know.
Yeah.
But it was a good like introduction book. Like, it just. That's it. That's the story. Now we're going to move on with the rest of the story.
Yeah, it was a little short.
Yeah, it seems short.
But it definitely set everything up.
And the art was really
good. The art was really good. So that was good. That was Greg Pack, I think.
Yeah, Greg Pack and I forget the guy.
Yeah, that was
It was the same creative team that was on Amadeus Cho Hulk.
Yes.
But that was quite good. So.
Star Wars Darth Vader number 4.
Something really dramatic supposedly happened in this. So somebody tweets at Charles Soule, I can't believe you did that.
So, I wouldn't say that, but
What? The internet said something wasn't as cool as it was?
So, in the previous issue, Darth Vader is supposed to, like, he lost. He lost his fight against the Jedi that was, you know, basically one of the last ones on this.
He got cut in half and sent down a...
No. He got pretty messed up. And, The Jedi who went after him just assumes that he is dead and, you know, is ready to move on because he's been on this planet as a hermit, you know, trying to find his purpose, and that was his purpose, and now it's time to get back to, well, he was supposedly because he had to take on Darth Vader. But he had to take on Darth Vader, because that was his, like, goal. That's why he was sitting there on this planet waiting for this purpose. And he's ready to move on with his life, and he's going to get a ship that he left with mechanics years ago, and they just assumed he wasn't coming back because the Jedi were presumed dead. And all of a sudden he senses that, you know, Vader is still alive. And Vader, he confronts the Jedi on a dam, and Vader, you know, puts, in order to distract the Jedi, you know, because the Jedi, you know, feels for people, Sith don't, he breaks the dam open, flooding this whole city, and then kills the Jedi as well, and takes his lightsaber, because that's his goal, is the order to make the lightsaber crystal bleed.
So he beat him without a lightsaber?
Yes. But I would not say that it was that, like, shocking. I wouldn't say, because I could see him doing that. It's not like he did something out of character. Like, he gave the guy a hug, and, you know, they moved on with their lives, and he didn't do anything.
That's good to see.
That would have been shocking. I would have been like, what?
That would have been really nice.
But it was good. I've enjoyed this series. I thought it seemed like this would just be a mini-series. It doesn't seem like it's going to be, because I saw the previews had issues of a new arc, so
okay.
It's going to go on, I guess. So, but it was good. I don't know what else to talk about. I guess I could talk about Walking Dead number 170.
Yeah.
They went to Pittsburgh.
They did.
They went, yeah. I guess that is where they went to, because they didn't move on from Pittsburgh.
However, let me ask this.
I did see it was wrong, because it had them walking across the Clemente Bridge.
You just stole my thunder.
I'm sorry.
Oh!
I'm sorry.
So let's just move on.
If you're traveling from from south, why would you be entering Pittsburgh from the north?
I just assumed PennDOT was working on all sorts of roads. And they could, you know, and then that's when the zombie apocalypse happened. And they had to go that way.
See,
they were detoured.
You know what disappoints me about this, though?
What?
That Colin stole my thunder?
Well, beyond that. Me
too, Pat. I feel your pain.
That obviously does. But, so, they went through Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
Why did they not spend the night in the Monroeville Mall?
They'd have to go the other way. They'd go around.
Yeah.
They didn't want to.
But
they didn't want to go all the way into Monroeville.
As an homage.
I want to say, if this had come out in a couple months, it would have. Just due to the George Romero's death. But
yeah.
But I thought Kirkman said that he put Pittsburgh in there as an homage to Romero.
Okay.
I guess he could have done that. It just seemed kind of odd. Because, I mean, it makes sense because that is the direction they were going.
Yeah, they're headed to Ohio.
From Washington, D.C.
Well, and that's kind of my problem. I don't know why they would go up into Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Because that seems to go to, you know, I don't know where in Ohio they're headed to, but it seems to go into Pittsburgh a little far north.
Yeah, you're right, because you wouldn't have to go into Pittsburgh in order to get to Ohio.
They typically spend time along the highway, so they would take 70 to go across, and then they could do different things from there. Why go all the way up
into Pittsburgh?
That's a good point.
So maybe that's why he did, because,
yeah,
that makes sense. But at least this issue moved forward a little bit.
It did.
With them going on to this journey to find the people on the other side of the microphone.
Yeah.
And then, you know, then Rick's dealing with whatever Rick deals
with.
It's just drama.
Is he still on the phone?
What is it?
Is he still on the phone?
No, he hasn't carried that phone with him in a long time.
Just checking.
Wouldn't that be funny if he's still at it?
Hey, when's the last time you read it?
he picks it up, he's like, hey, Lori, are you still there? You know. She's left.
Oh, wait.
Well,
now he's got Paul waiting because he's got Andre on the other
line.
Yeah,
he's got... Hold on a minute. Who are you talking to? And then turns into a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jeez. But I love the Negan stuff, though.
Yes.
Negan's just walking. Even when he's by himself, he still has these conversations.
It's like, I should have saved that for people who are around.
And then he went and visited the grave of Lucille.
Ball?
Huh?
Yes.
He's
a big Lucy fan.
Yeah. Lucille Ball.
That's what I'm explaining to do.
Like,
yeah, that's what he said.
He was absolutely just as upset of losing Lucille as he was his wife.
It was pretty intense. I've only read so much of that Image Plus magazine that it talks about that, but I'm sure they would have explained more about the bat. And I know when he got it and everything, it got up to that far, but...
Yeah. Well, he named it after his wife.
Yeah. So that's really the connection there.
Yeah, that's...
And that's why he's...
I thought it was kind of messed up, though, at the end there with when Sadiq told Eugene, that I was the one that was hanging Rosita. Man, that's kind of messed up.
Yeah, that was pretty intense. It's not really the group they should have went up there with. Now they have a bunch of drama.
Yeah.
Was Rosita dead in the comics?
Yeah, the Whispers cut her head off.
Mm. It happens.
When they made their fence... She was one of the chosen.
Yeah.
Along with Ezekiel. And that's what I think it was.
And the tiger, they had like two stakes.
Oh. The tiger was killed a long time ago.
I know. That would be ridiculous.
Yeah.
But a tiger's had a stake. Where are you thinking, Adam?
That's good eating anyway.
Yeah, they would hate it. At least the zombies. Superman number 28.
I read that.
I really like these issues, both of them.
Yeah, some people have been...
Those people are dumb.
Butthurt over this for some reason, but yeah, that's dumb.
I think this issue versus the first one was more heavy-handed. However, I still really liked it.
I actually think I would disagree on that, because I think the whole restaurant scene in the last one, or two issues ago, was more heavy-handed than this one.
Was it two?
No, there have probably been two.
Last issue being the one that we're talking about right now.
Okay, I get you.
The stuff with the Civil War thing, I was like...
Yeah, but it felt super like Clark and like Superman. Like, that felt like something
that was one of the complaints
would.
That you were telling me you heard on, what was it, Bleeding Cool brought up that...
Bleeding Cool said it's awful morbid, he just dumped a skeleton on him.
It's a skeleton from, like, the Civil War, and this is what they've been looking for. This is what I thought.
That was the whole point, was that they were...
Love Lois going, it took you this long?
Yeah. He meticulously wrapped it in a flag, and...
Yeah.
It felt like that's what
it was. It was a feel
moment. That's what Clark Kent would do.
That's what it was, and people just looked into it too much. You know, I looked at it this way. I was like, no, those people have nothing to do.
I can see,
wish him happy birthday.
Clark saying, you know, I have the ability to give these people closure. It won't take that much effort for me. Of course, I'm going to do this.
The way. They talked about it, and you know, they're walking off the path and talking about Gettysburg and, you know, the blood that's here, and there's ghosts, and made
the ghosts were there.
It made me want to kind of go back and see Gettysburg, because I was just like,
that is a good movie.
Not just the movie, but go to Gettysburg.
I love that they referenced the movie.
You said I would go back and see Gettysburg. I thought you were talking the movie.
No, I forgot about that, but yeah, that was good.
Well, they referenced the movie in the book.
Yeah.
Yes, they did.
Because whenever you throw out a fact, she's like, you only know that because... The movie Gettysburg.
But I haven't been to Gettysburg in a long time. I'd love to see it again.
I like John and Lois's interaction when he's like, you're Chewie. She's like, I think you meant General Leia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was. It was really good. It felt like comics don't feel sometimes like comics used to. And this felt like a comic book. And the way I look at it, if people didn't like it, they don't really get comic books.
I really like when when this book tells low-stakes stories. When this book tells, you know, just, you know, one and done or two-book arcs that aren't really high stakes. It's just more character moments.
Clark and Lois and
really,
John being
excel.
A family.
They excel at telling these stories, and it's just enjoyable to read and to see it unfolding.
And for the bigger stories, we have action. You know, so it's like, I agree. Yeah. I kind of like these, you know, either one-and-dones or two-issue arcs. Or, like, how long was even the one about the multiverse, the multiversity one?
That was,
it's like
three
issues. Yeah, so it's like,
my favorite issue still was whenever he went to, when he went to the carnival.
That was
a good issue. But this one's close to that one, though. I really did like it. It just, a lot of good interaction between them and their family. But yeah, it was fun. I'm just gonna wait. Go ahead, Pat.
Okay, Ghost Station Zero.
Continue on your babushka.
Yeah. So first of all, I didn't even know that this was a new book for Babushka at all.
That's why I'm here.
I know, and I appreciate that.
We got a new book for Babushka. You read Babushka book.
Duh. So, her mission, going back to the Cold War, the Soviet Union had all these intelligence outposts in different places, and they were abandoned at the collapse of the Soviet Union. And, you know, it's been 20 years since, but that information is still valuable to somebody. One group had been going out to slowly find all these, they call them ghost stations. And I guess the last 10, 15 that they've gone to, someone had been there before and destroyed everything in there. So they hired Babushka to go in and try to figure out who's trying to get this information, and my guess is to eventually stop them from destroying these other ones. It's a cool little spy story. She's very much in the vein of a female James Bond, but she's Russian. She has gadgets. She sleeps with everybody.
Sounds like James Bond.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
she's probably slept with James Bond.
Potentially, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So possibility.
Yeah, but it was, cool spy story. You don't have to read the first book to know what's going on at all. You know, you just kind of pick it up, and it starts off very much James Bond, like a cold opening, where you don't exactly know what's going on. It's an action sequence, and it kind of gets into the main story. So, and Batman.
I read that.
Batman.
Yeah. So most of this story pretty much revolved around a fight between Deathstroke and Deadshot. Apparently, they were fighting each other for 5 days.
Yeah.
And each day, things just escalated and escalated. More civilians were
killed in the crossfire.
Getting killed, and eventually, Batman steps in and beats the hell out of Deadshot.
My only issue with this book is some of the dialogue whenever Batman is telling Selina about this, mm-hmm. and when he gets to the point where he keeps saying, it lasted 5 days, or however he said, 5 days long, and he kept saying it over and over again, and she finally, asked him what's going on. It just felt too heavy-handed, in that part. It almost reminded me of the Bane issues when it's about, the break the back thing.
Yeah.
And it just, it felt like Tom King was trying to make it more dramatic and make it seem like he was, almost,
I should have stopped it on
traumatized like this, but it just, it came across just too much. Yeah. It didn't feel natural.
Yeah.
At the beginning of this issue, because of the, having that, interlude and whatnot, I forgot he was telling a story to Selina.
Okay.
And as it was starting up, I was like, who is he talking to? And then it went to the Selina part. I was like, he's talking to Selina. But we haven't seen that for, a couple issues. The first issue showed at the end that he was telling the story to Selina.
Well, this was only the second issue, I think. Because you had the Kite Man interlude. I think
there were two before.
Yeah, there was two.
Was there two before? Yeah. Okay, I thought it was only one, but... not a lot's happened in the war at this point.
No, it's more about, this battle, these battles of characters, and not necessarily...
Well,
I said
basically, Central Park was the meeting ground where they let the cops come in and pick up the bodies, and...
Yeah, kind of, I guess it gave you a little bit of a description of what the war is, what's going on there, but... Yeah, I get what you're saying, though. It seems like we just keep hearing about this fight, and we're not getting to...
Yeah, what was actually... in some ways, it actually reminds me a lot of No Man's Land.
Yeah.
And that, that this was the Joker's territory, that's the Riddler's territory.
Yeah, very much so.
I just, it's not that I dislike it, but I kind of wanted to get to the point.
Yeah, which Scott Snyder almost went into that with Zero Year. It's kind of a Zero Year story, but at least he has a story going on, where this one's very descriptive of... everything that's going on. It's like painting a picture for you.
Yeah.
Where his wasn't. The picture was there. He kind of explained it, and then it moved.
The strange
still
thing...
Still not bad, though.
That I find with this... None of the regular rogues gallery, I can't picture siding with the Joker. Because at the end of the day, they all know he just wants to see the world burn.
Yeah, I find that odd, too.
I could see them siding with the Riddler, but not with Joker.
Well, I kind of...
But if they fear Joker's, complete chaos, if they fear what will happen to them...
They feel
if
they're
go
safer
against Joker
on his side.
Because I'll be honest, if I had to pick a side, I would feel like the Joker's going to win.
Just because we read the book, so we know the guy who's going to win.
But, okay, but the Joker. Just, even if the Joker's going to win, he's so unpredictable, there's no...
You might get killed in the process still.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. There's no potential safety but by staying
I
on
would
his
still,
side.
I would think I'd have a better chance on his side, because I think the Joker is the top tier, villain there, and the Riddler, while he's up there, I don't think he's the Joker.
Yeah.
No, I don't think that, but I...
Even though he probably should be...
If you're with the Riddler and the Riddler wins, things will be better for you. If you're with the Joker and the Joker wins, he still may brutally kill you just because he's the Joker.
Yeah.
Sure. So what do you really gain out of helping him? Like,
it's
kind of
like
you trust that he's going to allow
you're correct.
You
if the Riddler wins, you'll have it better off. But if you truly think that the Joker's going to win, then it's either I'm going to go with the Riddler and I'm guaranteed to be dead, or I'll go with the Joker, and yeah, he might kill me anyways, but there's at least a chance I might be alive.
It's kind of like the Justice League cartoon episode where Lex put together this whole thing, but he didn't invite the Joker. But then in the end, Joker was mad because he wasn't invited to the party, but the reason why they didn't was because he was chaotic.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he was unpredictable, so they didn't bring him in, but then it made it worse for them.
Well,
so it's almost like you're better off going on his side, just because if you don't, he's gonna...
They had a bad parting of ways in the Superman animated series anyway, which took place before Justice League.
Yeah. But, yeah.
Yeah, and that's
a tough one. I kept looking at the characters because they had that spread of all the characters.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, who's on whose side here? And I was looking at them like, yeah, I get what you're saying. Because you're looking at him, you're like, why would Mr. Freeze join the Joker's side? Why would,
Well, that's it. You know, Mr.
You could see it
Mr.
more
Freeze
with the Riddler.
Is more logical, at least in what he does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So, like Scarface, that makes sense with the Joker because he's clearly nuts.
Yeah.
You know, he's talking to through a puppet.
Yeah.
That makes sense to me. A Mr. Freeze doesn't.
It does seem like the more sane of the bunch joined up with Riddler.
With Poison Ivy and
yeah.
I mean, you had Deathstroke over Deadshot. I'd say one's a little more crazy.
They're
than
also
the other.
Both mercs, so at the end of the day, whoever pays them more is the one that they're going to go with.
Yeah. But really, I don't know why they're involved. To tell you the truth, I figured they just leave because unless they were being paid. Which they were, that was the only reason. I mean, it hasn't been brought up, but they'd have to be paid in order for them to be there.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I don't think either one of them have a fighting stake in Gotham.
Yeah.
So.
Just interesting.
That's just my take on it. Like, I don't get, and that's why I kind of want to see what the point is with this. Because maybe it'll make more sense. Otherwise, I don't see why anybody joins the Joker for anything.
Yeah. Especially in the next issue, because this one did paint a picture of what was going on. The next issue needs to move on a little bit into something.
That's all I read.
All right. First one I mentioned is East of West, number 34. So this was a really good issue, and we didn't really see our main character. We didn't really have much with Death and his son in here. But this call back to an issue or something that happened like 12 issues ago where one of the leaders, Chamberlain, tried to kill, leader of a nation assassinated, Mao, I think her name is. And she was able to thwart the assassination, but this shows her finally like putting in, into motion her plan for revenge. And seeing Archibald Chamberlain, who's always kind of, ahead of everyone else in terms of, the games that are being played here, see him, throw off his game a little bit and be on the defensive, but then quickly strike back. And it was a really good issue and a good way to bring that previous event up that was kind of just left dangling to the point where when it first happened, it's like, I can't believe nothing bigger is going to happen from this, but this issue... did a good job of wrapping it up and not making it seem out of place, even though it was, wrapping something that happened so long ago. Green Arrow 28. So Oliver Queen goes to Metropolis. And this issue did not do what I was fearful it was going to do, and just show another instance of him encountering another Justice League member, them talking about how much of a douche he is, and then reluctantly teaming up, and then by the end be like, you're not so bad after all.
One of those stories.
He goes to Metropolis, but he's not there to see Superman. He's there to see Lex. And he meets with Lex, and they're, you know, having me first, it seems like he believes that Lex is part of the Ninth Circle, but then you find out that they tried to recruit him, but he didn't go along with it, and now the Ninth Circle is kind of out to, you know, get Lex and ruin him, and he feels that he's untouchable, so Oliver's trying to, you know, convince him to watch out, and we find out they go after him by trying to get to his people, and they do so with, like, some subliminal messages and this app that's releasing all this private information about them, and the subliminal messages are making them a bit more panicked. And at the same time, as he's meeting with Lex, we see Clark Kent, just not as Superman, just as Clark, and just, you know, going through, like, everyday life, but doing, like, little Superman things, and just showing, you know, as he's eating an ice cream, kind of walking down the street, he notices some guy is carrying a gun and looks like he's about to assault someone, so he grabs, you know, a paint bucket and just, like, tosses up in the air and knocks a guy over and, you know, goes up and just thwarts it without being very overt about it, and does it with, like, you know, the Clark Kent goofy smile and, you know, sense of hope, and it was perfect. Like, it felt very much like a Clark Kent, you know, story in those panels, more than, you know, most other books have depicted Clark Kent in a long time, and I was very surprised that they handled it this way, and it worked out really well. And then whenever the big, you know, issue started, where the members of LexCorp are, you know, going into this panic over all their, you know, biggest secrets being revealed and being set in more of a frenzy because of this subliminal messaging, they're all trying to, you know, commit suicide. So you have people, like, you know, in droves trying to jump out of windows in these skyscrapers, and Superman and Green Arrow, you know, spring into action separately, but then end up, you know, encountering each other as they're trying to save people. And by the end, like, Clark was just, you know, saying that he's talked to the Justice League members, he, you know, thinks it's great what Oliver Queen is, you know, the mission he's always set out to do. Oliver Queen mentions that how they, in the past, haven't always gotten along, and calls him, like, America's dad. And it was a good, you know, interaction between him and Superman. It didn't follow the same formula of the previous two issues, which was good, because this could have gotten pretty boring if every single Justice League member had the same interactions with him throughout the course of, you know, five issues.
Him and Batman do not like each other at all. They've never liked each other.
Except for in Dark Knight.
Mm. Yeah.
But they didn't have many people to talk to, I guess. Well, that's because all they were both the equally films. Not liked.
Yeah, he's essentially, you know, a more lighthearted Batman.
He's like your show took all my bad guys. Yeah. So.
I believe Batman is next issue. I think so.
Hmm.
It was good. Juan Ferreyra was back on art with this issue, and it looked gorgeous.
It's good to have a Green Arrow book that people are reading again, though, because it does, like, that was another book that kind of, I thought, used to do a lot better, like, years ago. It just doesn't.
There was a great spread in here of whenever Clark first notices that people are, you know, trying to commit suicide, and showing, like, of him, you know, changing from Clark to Superman, and as he's, you know, trying to fly up to save someone, and also try and talk to the person as he catches them, telling you it can't be as bad as you think it is. It felt very Superman-esque.
Yeah.
It was really good. Shay the Changing Girl. Are you reading this book, Adam?
I am. I just so you haven't read it yet.
So I'm not gonna spoil a whole lot about it. But Shade, you know, gets to Hollywood and manages to encounter Honey Rich. She finds Honey when Honey is at a particular low point in her life, and Shade tries to, you know, turn things around. And, well, there's no way I can talk about it without really spoiling some things. you care about? Okay. So Honey Rich is trying to kill herself because everyone that she has known, you know, is dead, and she doesn't really have anything going for her. She's living in this old folks' home for, like, retired, you know, actors and actresses. So she takes all these pills, and Shade shows up as Honey is, like, laying there, about to die, and Shade saves her by essentially swapping bodies. And, you know, at first, Honey believes that she is in the afterlife until she looks in a mirror and realizes that she's not in her, you know, the body of her younger self. She's in a completely other different body, and then finds out what is actually going on. That Shade is an alien, and she tried to save her. And at first, she's upset by it, but she tried to save her. But then Shade just says she just wants to, you know, interact with her and learn some things from her. And she promises at the end that she will kill her or let her die, like when it switched back. So they're going through, like, her old, you know, haunts, and they dress up in fashion, like, of the era that Honey Rich is from, and just are out and about in Hollywood, and just their interactions and conversations. It was just great. And there's one moment where Honey Rich, in the body of Shade, realizes that Shade is actually pregnant and in the first trimester, and Shade didn't realize she was pregnant, so she's suddenly in this.
We learned where that came from in the previous arc.
She's suddenly in this panic. But it was just neat how she discovered it, and then at one point towards the end, Honey Rich in Shade's body gets discovered by an agent who wants to, you know, turn her into a star. So it kind of sets it up as what's going to happen next. Is she going to be as eager to go back to her
I like how that she's left her family and everything just mm-hmm. to go do this, and they're, like, in a panic back home. Where is she? And she's just, whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. But we were, a few people were talking about the Young Animal books. I think it was on Sunday. And pointing them out and, you know, talking about which ones are our favorites. And, like, people had, like, all different favorites. I thought that was great. Because the variety seems to be
there. I find that my favorite changes with these. Yeah. Like, for a while, Cave Carson was my favorite.
This one's my favorite.
Now, Shade is my favorite.
Yeah.
At first, it was Doom Patrol, mm-hmm. which is good. But, yeah,
there's some points in Mother Panic, like, that I'm enjoying. Like, this arc, I'm really
liking. Most recent Mother Panic, I loved. Yeah.
The other one, it was okay, but this one I've really liked.
Yeah, I've liked this one a lot so far. I wasn't keen on the art change in Mother Panic at first. But now I think it's grown on me.
Yeah. But you're right. It kind of changes because some days, like, I've even enjoyed Doom Patrol. Just at some points, I feel like I need to know the characters.
Doom Patrol's dense. Like, it's a commitment to get into and read an issue.
Cave Carson, the thing about it started on a pretty good path of understanding what it was. Then once they started going beyond dimensions and stuff, it kind of got a little off the wall. But it's still fun.
Cave Carson feels like this really fun, you know, adventure.
Yeah.
It started to get a bit, you know, too off the wall.
Yeah.
Like, it was always kind of wacky and crazy, but...
Yeah.
But it's getting a little bit too far out.
When they were
now.
In the caves and everything.
That was great.
It was
but, yeah, the different
Once
dimensions
they moved
now,
beyond the caves, I was like, wait, how did the car
and it does
do this?
It does feel like this one, you know, threat is kind of not going anywhere, really. It's taking a bit too long to advance.
Yeah. But Shade's just... It's fun. It's off the wall, but not too off the wall.
Yeah.
It's you at least know what's going on. It doesn't take that much to think about what's happening here. What's happening?
We also found out that her body back on Meta is close to death or dead.
Okay.
At this point, so she may be trapped now. So now they can't even kind of, you know, pull her back. They have to try and physically send someone there to get her and bring and like physically capture her and bring her back now to get the you know madness coat. And that one woman from Metis is obsessed with getting this back, and you know we're still not quite sure why. And
yeah, we don't know what
her she's been denied
is.
Access to a ship to go there and get her stuff to try and find another way to do it.
Yeah, it's good.
No, it's really
it's
good.
Fun.
Yeah. Sorry for spoiling things.
Oh no, that doesn't. It didn't. Really
it was just, there was a story. There was like I can't talk about
it's
it
more
all,
the experience of reading it too
yeah.
than then you can spoil anything, because it's just watch it. The art, this, the everything.
This is one book more than most. The art plays a crucial role in how how the book reads, because the art in here is just so wacky and dynamic and fluid. It just really goes with the story, you know.
I love the what's the show called, Life with Honey? Mm-hmm. Is that what it's called?
I love the backups. The backup in this one is really good, too.
Yeah, I've enjoyed it.
Because her and her friend were trying to get into this like conference, but they wouldn't let anyone in. It wasn't a scientist already, so they deposed a scientist. It was really good.
Certain books are put in the backup, the Covering Bane pages. Have you seen those?
Yeah.
I look for them anymore all the time, because I'm just like, what are they going to do? Sometimes it's Bane from the movies. And then sometimes they do have a Bane.
Yeah.
That's a more comic book. But they're fun. The Young Animal books are really fun.
I
get them.
It's been a very solid line.
Yeah.
And last one I mentioned is Star Trek Waypoint number 6. Okay there, Pat.
Yeah.
This was the last of the Waypoint anthologies. Each one has two different stories in it. So this one had a story that focused on Nurse Chapel from the original series. And then the second story took place in the world of Star Trek Phase 2, which would have been the next show.
Next Generation that never...
No, Next Generation.
It's
the in-between.
Yeah, it was...
It was
going
still,
to be the movie, or it became
it was,
the movie.
Yeah, it was still the original series, but
yeah.
No Spock. Like, Decker would have been the first officer.
Okay.
Kirk was still captain of the ship. So yeah, that's where that story took place, and they were both really good. Like, this has had some misses here and there, but the Nurse Chapel story was great. It was showing, like, she went to this conference, this medical conference, and at first it's playing out like, you know, her peers are saying, you could be doing research here, you could be doing this, you could be doing that, why are you just a nurse on, you know, a ship in the far reaches of the galaxy? But then a threat, you know, presents itself, and it's showing how, you know, she may be a nurse, but she also has developed all these skills, and she is, you know, much more well-rounded than her peers who are, you know, just a researcher on some big project or whatever, and showing how important of a role she does. They've done a good job of showcasing these characters that may have kind of just, you know, been put off to the side, and they did this again with another previous issue where we had the only female red shirt that died on the original series, where it kind of showcased her and showed her background, and did something similar with Nurse Chapel, showing how crucial a character she was.
I like that they showed her red shirt's background.
Yeah.
They had this huge life. You never think about them having a life before they were on the Enterprise.
Well, because the previous one, her only, you know, the only memory was just she's the only female red shirt that died. Like, that's all people remember
all
her by. But, you know, with that issue, to give her that backstory and make
her
more of a character.
They even have a statue, the only red shirt to die.
Yeah.
Or the only female red shirt to die.
But no, this was good, the Nurse Chapel story. And then the story that took place in Star Trek Phase 2, the Enterprise encounters this Romulan ship that has been decimated, and the crew on board has been completely, or mostly massacred, it appears. There's some survivors, but for the most part, they looks like they've been torn apart by some sort of beast. And this one, all these stories seem to like have some sort of you know, message to them. And like this one was more, you know, in line with not just judging things by, you know, how they first appear. So the Romulans are saying that it was this beast that tore everything apart. They have to destroy it. There's no reasoning with it. It's just, you know, a mindless creature. And we find out, because the Vulcan science officer, who's not Spock, this new science officer who Kirk doesn't fully, you know, trust or have faith in, because he clearly, you know, misses his friend, goes against orders a bit and doesn't just, you know, take out the beast and tries to communicate with it, and finds out that it was part of these genetic experiments that the Romulans were doing on its species to turn them into weapons of war, but really it is a, you know, intelligent, sentient creature. It doesn't have the same language capabilities, but it does have, you know, intelligent thought, and was able to communicate with it, and it was just trying to defend itself. It wasn't, you know, just trying to mindlessly kill the whole crew, but it was a good story. This is a, a solid issue for both the stories.
Is that how this book is? It's like kind of two.
Every issue's been two stories.
That's kind of neat.
It'll be a really nice trade when it comes out. I actually wish this was a continuing, book where every month you just get two new shorter stories by different creative team.
Yeah,
it's an anthology that worked. Mm-hmm. It worked really well.
Yeah, that was one that looked really good, and then I was wanting to read Broken Mirror.
Broken Mirror is good too. I've been
waiting for trade. I want to read some more of the Star Trek.
Broken Mirror's been good. Boldly Go has been good too.
Yeah,
I was a bit put off by it at first because the first arc had some stuff with Borgs, and Borgs are so
overdone.
Overdone, but they're so tied to Next Generation and like Voyager. So to see them bring them to the original series felt kind of out of place, but they did it in a way that made it make a bit more sense. Yeah. And didn't just feel like
they're on a further, they're like further out into the galaxy, right? Or into the space.
You mean the Borgs? Or the Enterprise?
The Enterprise. Or the Borgs.
Yeah, the Borgs are in the
I forget what they called it.
Delta Quadrant.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're far out there.
Yeah,
so that's why I always thought they never met up with them.
Especially in the early, in the original Star Trek, they wouldn't have a big problem overtaking it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they wouldn't.
They just don't seem to
fit. But they did make it make sense with why they were there, and there wasn't just an outright confrontation between the two.
Well, they tied them into the show Enterprise, because they tied together that the movie as well. Remember that? The
time in Enterprise.
Contact.
Yeah.
First contact, they tried to tie into Enterprise.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. I liked that episode. That was pretty good.
I forgot about that.
Because that's how they ended up there to begin with or whatever. Yeah.
First Contact's a good movie.
That's a good movie.
Yeah.
It's Next Generation's Wrath of Khan. Mm-hmm. That's it for me.
That's it for you. I only have two more. Elsewhere, which is one from Image. It was good. It was interesting because it was, with the whole Amelia Earhart kind of hitting the news right as this was coming out. But basically, it starts off with these two creatures who have escaped from, like, a work camp and are trying to get away, and all of a sudden they hear somebody going, "Help, help!" And it's Amelia Earhart stuck in a tree in her parachute. So the one goes up to help her, and she comes down, and they realize they kind of just can't leave her. And so they go to run, and then they get captured, and she mentions plane, and they're like, "Gosh, someone else mentioned plane. We don't know what this is, but someone else has mentioned this recently. Someone, outsider." So she ends up, she gets thrown into the dungeons of the king or whatever, and she keeps thinking it's her navigator that is the other person that she's trying to find who got lost. And in the end, it turns out in the dungeon, she meets the other person, and it turns out it's D.B. Cooper.
Oh, okay.
So it's kind of, this is kind of a place for people who just disappear.
Okay.
So it's elsewhere. So.
How the hell is D.B. Cooper there before her?
Who knows?
Comic books.
and then the other one I read was Generations Hulk, which is Amadeus Cho running into young Banner Hulk, how they refer to him.
Amadeus.
And it's basically, it did not rock me. But basically, they're getting chased by, you'll never believe this, General Ross.
What?
Why would he do that? Was he Red Hulk?
No, yeah. This was early Hulk. This was young Hulk.
He was just a general then. Just a young general.
And just kind of went back and forth. Not a lot happened. My fear with these books is...
They suck?
They're just annuals. It's like just an occasion to have the young one and the old one meet. Like, Phoenix came out this week. And it's basically young Jean Grey from the past, who's now in the future, meeting
old Jean Grey.
But it's young Jean Grey in the sense that she had just gotten the Phoenix powers. It was like around issue 101 type Jean Grey. Okay. She was just about to be tricked by Mastermind. And
time hopping?
Yep. No, there's no time. No, at all. They're meeting in the Vanishing Point. This is not time travel.
Maybe they can find my interest in these books there.
Was Rip Hunter there?
No, but yeah, just, there's Rip just Horn not was. A lot there. And I'm reading these people, I'm seeing these people online going, "Oh, that was a great issue," and all this stuff, and I'm just like, eh.
Okay, yeah, I don't get that. I mean, they could bring bring him back from the dead, that would make sense, but not an earlier version of them.
Well, the Spider-Man one's going to come out, and Miles Morales is going to meet up with Peter Parker for the first time.
Except for all the other times.
Oh, Pat, you figured it out. But this is the first time, probably, because he'll go back in time. Because that's the theme. No, a vanishing point. What is that? Like,
they
I don't
just
understand.
Made it up. I know.
So they don't go back in time?
No. They just somehow get teleported there, and then they get teleported out at the end.
It's the Ghost of Christmas Past.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the area where time is just the same.
No, it's the last episode of Star Trek The Next Generation.
Yeah, it's not.
Where the three converge and...
But he wasn't watching the... Like, I mean, other people weren't there. It was just him teleporting different, you know...
Maybe Tom Brevoort can come on and explain.
It's Quantum Leap. Which is, I guess, that was essentially...
Well, except for he was always jumping into himself as opposed to jumping into other people.
It's almost like...
And I think it's really weird that Archer was there.
Quantum Leap, you could leap in other people, but it was only during his lifetime. He couldn't leap before he was born or after his death.
That's what the vanishing point.
Or in the future, I guess.
Right, but Picard was only...
No, I'm just saying, like, it was the different roles.
Yeah, how much up with that in Quantum Leap and he jumps back and he's Jesus?
Well, who's Jesus going to meet in the...
When you said last episode of Star Trek, at first I thought you were going to reference the last episode of Enterprise, where it was a big slap in the face because essentially the whole show of Enterprise was a holodeck thing for Riker.
It was? Holy shit, I'm glad I didn't watch that show.
Yeah, the whole...
That would have been upsetting.
Throughout the whole season, or the whole show of Enterprise, they always reference this cook, and you never really saw him, and you find out that that was actually Riker, and all of Enterprise was him just playing this holodeck program to see the history of the...
all of them you thought, and then at the last...
It was such a big slap in the face to the Enterprise fans and the cast.
Yeah, I wasn't happy for that.
Man. So it's coming out
It was a good show, though. Don't get me wrong.
I liked it. The second last episode was a good finale.
It's coming out next week, Colin.
Next week, lots of stuff. We have Astonishing X-Men 2. Batman 29, so we'll get to move on in this story.
Hopefully.
Dark Knight's Metal number 1.
Woo! Tuesday release, baby.
Yeah, baby. Divinity Zero. Future Quest Presents number 1.
I'm not sure about that one.
Generations Wolverine and All New Wolverine.
They've met before.
Hercules Wrath of the Heavens. I think this is the TV show Hercules.
Hercules!
Lots of stuff.
The clumps are getting a comic.
Sandman special is the Kirby one. Is the Kirby one for next week?
Which one is it?
Sandman, which is not Neil Gaiman's Sandman. It's a different Sandman. Secret Weapons number 3. Sheena number 0. This is a quarter book. Star Wars number 34 and Star Wars Poe Dameron 18 and Superman 29.
Poe, no.
I gotta say, I am shocked that Poe Dameron has made it to 18.
We all are.
Ultimates 2, number 100. That really jumped. Wicked Righteous. This is another one of the Alterna $1.50 books. And then X-Men Blue is the Secret Empire tie-in. So it sounds light. It's light as far as new big books, but there's a ton of stuff coming next week.
Southern Bastards is coming out.
Oh, see, I missed that.
Yeah. That's number 17.
That's why I keep you around.
And Southern Bastards.
That I ordered 17. In November of 2016. So, yeah, only slightly late.
It's going to be a while for the next trade, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's just
because this will be the first episode, first issue.
No, it doesn't.
I thought the last one.
That was number 2 of the last one.
Hmm. I thought cover 3 had the...
Because that was the one asked me about my feminism.
That's right.
Okay, so we have on Friday, August 25th, we're doing the book club is Black Hammer by Jeff Lemire. I still have a couple in the store, and I'll get more in next week. Of course, next Tuesday, Dark Knight's Metal, number 1, midnight release. Please come on down if you want to see it early, read it early. The buzz on this is really good.
Before it's spoiled.
before it gets spoiled. Also, this month is Dark Horse month, and I'm sticking to my plan, and I'm posting a different Dark Horse book every day. We have a nice little display that Adam and Josh made up.
I put one book there. That's it.
Adam put the others. So okay.
We did a good job.
I don't feel like I should get 50% credit. Okay. I'm saying.
That Adam mostly did, that Josh did a little bit.
Josh helped.
There you go. This weekend, I'm going to have a back issue sale and an action figure sale because the toy show. So it's the, I didn't find it at the con.
Toy show?
So I'll put that sale info up on Friday morning.
Weekend?
Yeah, it is this weekend. Yeah.
I'll be at that. But anyways, we.
So that's what's going on here at the store.
Don't be a dong, Alan. Adam.
Yeah, Alan.
I don't know where the hell that came
Man,
from.
Man, I can't believe Alan.
My middle name's Alan. Was that directed at me?
Actually, it's my son's middle name, too.
It was him, too. What are you saying about the Allens?
He's often being a dong. I gotta yell at him.
Who's Allens? That's a podcast call.
Thank you. Let's get
out
of here.
Did you tell him where he could be found?
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. You can find me.
Yeah, jumping the gun.
I'm sorry. Well, I just wanted to get
you're
it over with.
You're the one who was calling
on
a podcast.
Home.
He told me to. He looked at me to tell me.
We got 7 minutes to get here before 10 o'clock.
There we go. You can find me, the website's pittsburghcomics.com. Facebook is Pittsburgh Comics. Instagram and Twitter are PGH Comics. I'm really trying to do a lot more Instagram stuff. I'm working on the new POS system that's going to have a lot of cool stuff, I'm hoping, if we can get it all worked out. Having a little trouble with some things, but we'll get it figured out. So, we will talk to you next week.
This
one
time,
more time.
This time it is a podcast.
We'll see you.